Welcome back. Pull up a chair and join us at the table this week for another episode of Paper Pencil Dice, a tabletop role-playing podcast.
Welcome back to Paper Pencil Dice. So, last time, our heroes, they were heading out back from the cabin in the woods, Belasius's cabin. They had a few new friends coming with them, and they found something strange in the woods on the way back. They took it down, but it seems like it's boding ominously. But before we get into that, we're going to go ahead and do a quick round of introductions of everyone here. So, first of all, Athir, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name's Brian. I play the role of Athir Solaris. He's a Seer Elf fighter that's kind of a sword and board fighter. Also a nice little two-handed falchion that he uses here and there. So hopefully he'll get to bring that out and put it to use.
Sounds good. All right. And Jethal, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hey, my name's Chris, and I play Jethal Zahn. I miss my friend Hup, that's for sure. I kind of started to growing attached to him, and now he seems to be gone. So I'm a little sad, but, you know, we're heading back to try and figure out what to do next.
Up next, I'd like to introduce Tabitha.
Hi, I'm Jessica. I'm doing the role of Tabitha, I guess, and also Francis, my badger companion. Also will be, well, he doesn't have a voice, but he does do sounds somewhat.
It's a voice. It might not be English, but it's a voice.
Yeah. A little bit like, you know, a platypus.
And after that, Tegan, you want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hey, all. My name's Chris. I'm the other Chris. I play Tegan Stumbleduck, a gnome sorcerer. Right now, I'm a little ticked because I've got a cursed weapon again. I have been playing with Tony for like 4 years. And out of those 4 years, three of them have been cursed. Just saying.
The years have been cursed, or you've been cursed at one point or another? Or both?
No. That my weapon was cursed. I'm sorry. I should have explained that a little better. Sorry about that.
I mean, if you hate running with me, why do you play so often? No.
I didn't realize that was an option.
Right? No one else runs games in this town. We live in, like, what, a 200-person town or something?
200,000-person town. It's a little bit bigger. We're not like a one-horse town here.
I was close. Okay.
Up next is Tormir.
Hi, I'm Brandon. I'm playing Tormir, the dwarf monk. And currently, I am licking my wounds after getting my butt kicked hard by whatever it was that we just faced.
All right. So, yeah, and that is a very accurate statement of the whatever it was that you just faced. It was some sort of a cat thing prior to whatever happened to it. But, yeah, it was definitely no longer any form of feline whatsoever. So.
Poor kitty.
Yeah, poor kitty. But at least you put it down so it was no longer in its misery and gave it a proper send-off. So at this point in time, you guys have a little bit under 2 days' worth of travel to get back to Incarnivus if you head straight there. So you guys are continuing to head that way. Did you want to go back to Belasius' cabin and report in, or do you guys want to just try to make haste towards Incarnivus?
I'm for the idea of moving quickly back to Incarnivus.
Yeah, I'm going to heal our little monk dude on the way.
So have you guys explained what we are going to Incarnivus to accomplish?
No, why do you need to know that?
Because I don't know you people that well. And
yeah. So as you guys are heading back, you guys are probably all on various mounted horseback. Tormir might be fast enough just to walk casually alongside the group, but
get that pony.
You can have a pony if you'd like.
I would probably explain on the walk back if you guys agreed to come with us. I would be I would explain a little bit.
Well, how's
going on?
How would you explain that?
I would explain that we found this magical thing in the ground that we don't know really know what it does, but it talked to us. It was mechanical. It seemed like it was some sort of machine that was alive, and there's bad things being contained, and we needed the stone from God, now I can't remember this place.
Nishtun,
there you go. We needed the stone from Nishtun so that we could, help it contain this badness. And what we fought, that was, something that we believe came from this ship or because of this. So this is, we want to take you to this magical place. Just not on a magical carpet ride.
This is like My Little Pony all over again. This will be awesome.
Are you going to show me the world?
I ran the game. I've been DMing this game, and I'm not sure I understood your explanation there, Jethal.
It was supposed to be very vague.
Okay.
All right, so the helper of the group, the little gnome, who's a little excited that we got new people and really sad about Hup leaving too. We'll probably fill in the details. So talking about, hey, the mechanical people that were down in this big cavern, but it was kind of weird looking. It was like a shiny metal and it had lights everywhere and dials everywhere. And
yeah, and then the place.
Someone actually like reached their hand and touched the console. And when that happened, bad things happened.
Yeah, that was you.
It was unknown person.
There's someone totally unknown person. We have no idea who they were.
100% pointing out that was you. You did that.
Which made all the people start attacking us, and then we got it calmed down through a little bit of trickery and deception. And then we learned from this magic guy that's like really, really powerful that there's several stones that we need to put back into this metal container thing, and what that'll do is that'll contain the badness that's seeping through. It kind of looked like that thing we were like looking at, except when you look at the raw form of it inside the container, it makes you sick and almost pass out just looking at it. So we got the first stone, which is the bloodstone. There's probably more stones we need to get, but we need to get back and find out what's going on so we can get directions onto the next stone.
All right, sounds... That's more clear than the other description of things happening
the place
randomly.
The thing and then the
I mean,
item and
there
the
was
people.
Big things.
There technically was a place, and there were things that happened there.
See?
The description was not helpful in the slightest, but you were technically right.
Yeah.
The best kind of right.
So now that we got that story out of the way, now we get to tell the pants story. So, like... For some reason, when we were fighting the robots in the city before we got underneath the ground, Hup decided to pull his pants off while sliding in grease. I don't know why, but that's just our Hup. So
he
liked pantsing himself. I don't know what that's all about. But
I don't know if I remember this.
Remember, we were running through the alleys. It was a skills challenge, and Hup. We were all sliding through the grease, and Hup pulled his pants off to slide through the grease.
I believe that was actually when you were trying to pursue the one girl who had come back from the dead while you were in this game.
So
I think that was initially.
We don't have to lose pants when we're on these missions, do we? Pants are not optional, right?
Well, only for
Hup. I mean, they can be optional.
Incontinus doesn't allow pants, so...
Don't know if I feel comfortable going to a place that doesn't allow pants.
He's being silly.
It's only Hup. You just gotta know Hup.
Well, that's not really an option now, is it?
It's just a thing against
Thanks
pants.
Thanks for reminding me.
Yep, bringing it down a little bit.
All right. So as you continue on through, probably on horseback, ponyback, or otherwise. Having this conversation, it probably goes on. The conversation itself went on probably far longer than what we discussed here. And eventually, Tabitha, you notice that the sun appears to be starting to set. You probably have maybe an hour and a half worth of sunlight left.
What is the surroundings? Like, what is the setting?
You're in sort of a... kind of a plain/forested area, so it's sparse trees,
savannah,
predominantly.
As it were?
Yeah, like an oak savanna.
Okay.
But, so you, as you're continuing through, you haven't had any more encounters. You've seen strange things off to the sides, probably that other people haven't noticed, but things that really seem to be keeping their distance from you. And being that that encounter you had with that cat thing before was not, it apparently did not use its sight to see, but it saw through some other method. You would think that it's probably better for you and your group to set up camp while you still have some daylight to go, as opposed to waiting till night. Or the other option is you could just push through all night and try to get back as fast as possible, but risk exhaustion.
Well, hey guys, it's starting to get dark. We should probably set up camp now before it gets too dark to see. I worry about the predators that are, if we run into any more of those weird mutants.
It'd be a good time for tea.
What's a mutant?
Well, it's mutated. It's changed.
Oh,
it is
yes,
no longer
okay.
Its normal self.
Sure. Okay. I understand now.
I apologize. So, right. I start working on finding a area that would look at, be a good place to camp.
You actually, by the time you start looking around, the location you're currently at, it's a clearing among some trees. It's actually would not be a bad place. It's a fairly defensible location, and it would be a good place to set up a fire without causing any risk of lighting trees on fire or anything else. So it'd probably be a good spot right here to do.
Okay. So I start setting up the fire ring and making sure that we're taking all of the precautions so that we don't set the forest on fire. Has it been dry around here? Can we worry about, or should we worry about the fire getting out of control?
I mean, it has rained relatively recently, probably within the last 3 days by your estimation. So it doesn't seem extremely dry, but it is getting later in the year. So, fires are always a risk this time of year, but it's not, the conditions aren't exceptionally dry right now.
Okay. So I set out I try and find some rocks to put around and I clear out the grass around the fire so that there's a break between the fire and the undergrowth. And then I lay out my bedroll.
Yep.
Start getting things ready, and then I go and look for some branches for the fire, and I take Francis with me because he's really good at finding those things.
Yeah. And also another thing, you probably, the one thing that you guys don't have a lot of, you probably brought some Tabitha with you, but there's not probably an abundance of foodstuffs that you guys all have on you at the moment.
Right.
So you may also need to, or someone else in the group may need to do hunting, but
okay. I
probably
didn't realize that the food was necessarily low, but
you're not starving, but you probably would be good to get some meat. So
okay, I go hunting.
Okay. I would say probably to go hunting would likely be Athir and Tabitha. Probably go off hunting together.
What?
Yeah, I'm no good at it.
What? You're not going to send the gnome?
Do you have any ability to hunt?
No.
So what help would you be? Why don't you gather sticks and branches for the fire?
We could use them as bait.
Sticks for the firewood. Yes, master. Yes, master. Ah! Right. Okay.
Oh,
yes, how dare I ask you to do things that would help out? Come on, Shorty, let's... you should get going.
Hey, I'm taller than him. I'm
what?
Taller than you and him.
What?
I'm the tall one now.
You are not the tall one. Did you grab a growth potion or something? You're 4 inches shorter than I am. Yeah, you're taller than Francis. Congratulations.
What? I'm taller than Francis then.
All right, maybe to get short.
You're the dwarf, and you're like the among almost the tallest person here. So
it's a rare occasion.
It is a rare occasion. All right. So while Athea and Tabitha go hunting, we're gonna go back or stay back here with the other three: Tegan, Tormir, and Zathal at the camp. It sounds like Tormir was gonna set up heat up some water over the fire. So what do you guys talk about while the three of you guys are sitting back around the fire, kind of getting ready?
I grab sticks.
Good job.
Good chance to get to know Tormir and also give Tormir a chance to get to know you guys.
This is true.
Cool.
And also let the audience know more about Tormir and you guys. Hint, hint.
That was subtle, Tony.
I know. I'm great at being subtle.
I think only hammers could be more subtle than you.
So, Tormail, tell us a little about yourself. Where did you hail from? You said you were a monk. We talked a little bit about monastery, but what kind of practice or scribing did you do?
You know, when I grew up, as an orphan, got to know my family or anything, and it's all kind of a blur, just trying to survive. But, you know, at quite a young age, I was taken in by the Ironbeak Monastery. And from there, basically, we focused on enlightenment and learning to better ourselves, focusing mostly on meditation. But some of the monks noticed as I grew older that I was pretty good at physical combat. So I was adopted into their monk warrior program to help defend the monastery against, you know, invaders and what have you, and unsavory individuals. And in that program, I got to meet a great friend of mine named Thorum. And he was one of the greatest combatants I've ever met in my life. He taught me everything I know. He absolutely worked magic with anything he touched as a weapon. But not only that, he was a great heart. He loved everyone, and even if, you know, some of those people were a little bit dull-minded and couldn't quite always make the right decisions, he made sure, with a, you know, firm slap on the back of the head, they were in the right direction. And so, you know, it really helped me model my life as I grew up on him, and I'll forever be thankful for what he's brought to my life.
Dwarf? From an orphanage? Does that mean you grew up in a dwarfinage?
It is eight your jokes. You don't have to make fun of my background just because I'm a dwarf. I'm not going to be telling any tall tales anytime soon. So, you know, this is what you get.
That's awesome.
I mean, you shouldn't take it too much. He is shorter than you, so.
Okay, there's a little bit of history behind this because the last game I played a dwarf and Mark, who plays Hup, told that same joke to me, and you took it way better than I did. I was pretty upset. So that was pretty awesome. So, okay, so you studied, these are certain, any type of enlightenment that you could, like, show the rest of us? Like, anything cool from your studies that it sounds like you could have done a bunch of different weapons? Did you decide to do just your hands, or do you have, like, skills in all weapons?
Well, not all monks are trained in exactly the same martial prowesses. So, you know, in my case, I really wasn't great with the weapon. You know, I fumbled around with them a lot and ended up just getting frustrated and hitting things with my own hands. And it turned out to be the best situation because I was really good at it.
Awesome.
But more so than anything, though, I grew up with a love of tea. Can you imagine just how great tea is? Sitting down to make it, it's almost meditative in its properties. You sit there, you take your tea kit, you just lay it out just so, you unfold everything, and then you take your kettle, you fill it with water to just the right level, and you just sit on the fire, right? And you just sit there and prepare your herbs and any sort of spices that are going to go in there. Combine them in the right amounts. right? Put them in, you know, a little container. And then just as the tea begins to boil, you take it off and wait just the right amount of time for it to cool down. So that way it doesn't burn the leaves and cause bitter flavor. Then you gently pour it over your herbs into your teacup. And it's the most lovely thing in the world.
So what kind of herbs are we talking about here?
See, that's the great thing. It's an endless variety. You have your standard tea leaves. You have lavender. You have chamomile. You have lemongrass. The world's your oyster. When you're brave enough, anything could be made into tea.
Anything.
Well, isn't that really just a tincture if they're... I'm sorry, I'm not there.
Yeah, she'd be there in this conversation?
No.
No, she wouldn't be.
That was a weird
sound. The ghost of Tabitha.
That was a weird sound. Where'd that come from?
Popping out of nowhere. Did you know that's a tincture since it doesn't include actual tea leaves?
And then goes back out hunting again.
Cool. So how many years have you been studying?
Oh, God. I'd say 150.
150. That's a long time. Do you, like, have certain terrain that you like to fight on? Do you like flat ground? Are you good in urban areas, underground?
Honestly, I just really don't like the snow. Because I don't wear shoes, but kind of just really cold, you know? Everything else I'm fine with. I'm not really particular to mountains. That's a bit of a stereotype. But, you know, anywhere's fine as long as I can be able to maintain my concentration and find my inner self.
So what made you come along with us? Do you have, like, family back in Canavis, or?
As a member of the White Lily, I've become dedicated to helping others. And I could see that in this case, that there's something greater here. And as motley of a crew as it is, I mean, you know, it's a great opportunity to advance that cause.
And save the world in the process. Yeah, cool.
And that too, you know. A little badge of honor I get to wear on my robe.
There you go. I haven't gotten a badge of honor yet. I don't know if it's coming in this scenario or not. Cool. So we've got a monk, a sorcerer, and a wizard. Jethal, you want to say anything special about yourself to Tormir?
I mean, we'll see in time.
Okay. Just so you know, he's the money bags. So.
Whoa.
When we go somewhere, he's the one paying because the rest of us.
Oh, no. That's not the way this works.
That's an odd thing to be bringing up.
No.
Oh, cool.
I'm a man of few words.
Usually. Except. Yeah, I was going to say, you talked quite a bit to those wizards in the tavern.
I mean, you weren't there.
Oh, yeah, never mind.
I'm guessing they were female wizards.
I'm not. Oh, yes. Sorry, I heard that wrong. There was some females there, yes. They were of a higher stature. It was nice to talk to them.
So at this point, and he's been quiet the entire time up until now, but Teek kind of walks up and goes, well, they were talking about that one girl there who seemed to have some sort of something to do with you, Jethal. I think they said Duskwalker, something like that. I don't know. Do you know anything about that one?
She was a strange one. I don't know how to put what... I can't put my finger on it. But I feel like... She's... I don't know. She was strange. She acted very strangely to me. I did not... I don't recall. All as I remember is she disappeared in a rubble. Did you know? Did she get out?
I don't know. You guys were already rescued by the time I got to Belasius's cabin.
Oh, okay.
But
isn't she the one that like could pop the pill and come alive again?
No.
No, no, no. This is the one that showed up.
And gave Jethal a big hug and
yep.
And didn't know who Hup was.
Yep. Oh.
She was so happy to see me, and I don't know who she is, and that makes me a little scared.
Well, you could have been drinking one night, and you know, things like that happen.
Jethal drink?
No.
Oh, you don't? I thought you did. My bad.
No, I drink, but I drink. I don't drink enough to do that type of stuff.
Meanwhile, we will jump over to Tabitha and Aether, who are out hunting. After Aether and Tabitha successfully track down prey and are in the process of bringing it back to camp, they have the opportunity to have a conversation, get to know each other a little bit on the walk back.
Do we see any berries, or what time of year is it?
It is late summer, early fall.
Okay. So is there any berries that we can find?
There's definitely just wild bushes with berries on them. Some you definitely know are poisonous, and others you know are perfectly safe to eat.
Okay. Are they crunch berries?
I'm not familiar with crunch berries.
They are delicious.
As we are passing by the raspberry bushes and the blackberry bushes, I pick some and put them in my in one of my pouches to bring back.
Yeah.
I talk to, or I look over at Aether and ask him how long he has been traveling with these with his companions.
Well, we all kind of gathered when we were in Econovus. That's when we all met. Before that point, none of us knew each other, so we were kind of thrown into this situation. So not very long. But what did you do prior to joining us?
Well, this is really my first mission out. I grew up in a small town, and we were attacked by raiders, and I was pretty small at that time. And the raiders came in and tried to attack my family, and I helped to defend my family, and I was one of the shorter of the kids, and I grabbed a spear from one of the raiders and tried to fight everything off until my my master came, and he found us and he saved our town. And he decided that I would make a good addition to the Rangers. So he then took me and trained me. So I've been apprenticed to him for a while.
His name is Belasius.
Belasius. I couldn't remember his name.
Gesundheit.
So, yeah, that's and then you guys came, and he felt that I was ready to strike out on my own and have some adventures. So I've decided to join you on your quests.
That's good. Sounds like you've got some learning to do and some experience to the game, but that's okay. I've been around for a very long time. It's been over 100 years since I've seen my home.
Oh my. So. That's a long time. Have you been just wandering around since then?
After the fall, when we escaped, those of us that were able to get out tried to seek each other out, but most have scattered to the winds. The fall of Feladrun. After Feladrun fell, the city was destroyed, and the wardens were dispersed. Those of us that were able to get out we traveled west for the most part. That's how we ended up in Canavis. At least I did. Taking odd jobs like I was guard for caravans and guard for the city and things like that. Just get by.
That seems like an awfully long time to be wandering.
Yeah, well, you know, elves don't experience time the way most people with short lifespans do. So we take our time.
That sounds like a good plan. It's always best to take your time.
Yeah. Enjoy what you can while you're there.
About this time you guys get back to the clearing, what did you guys catch while you were out and about?
A few rabbits.
Okay.
Fruits or berries?
Yeah, we found some raspberries and some blackberries.
And you guys arrive back in time to find the rest of the group kind of just finishing setting up and getting the entire camp established.
Hey, Tormir, are you going to get us some tea? After describing that, I think I want some.
I could take some tea.
Betty, well, seeing as it's getting late, let's go for some lavender tea.
It's not really a tea. It's a tincture.
So that tea sounds good. How about some tea?
Yeah, I think I want some tea, too.
Yeah, it'd be some great tea, some lavender tea.
Ow!
Yeah.
This is entertaining just because I know Jess is such a tea purist.
It's alright, we're just teasing her.
I know.
So is lavender
All acceptable, beverages. You can't call it tea if it's not made with tea leaves. You can have black tea, you can have green tea, you can have oolong tea.
So this tea that you're going to make, it's made of lavender, is it like calming or does it like make you hyper?
Well, it's more of a soothing tea, you know, brings you down to level, helps you contemplate a bit.
Cool. All right. So,
I like mint.
So we're going to be all chill after drinking this tea and eating this rabbit. What are we making? Are we making rabbit stew or what?
We should probably just roast it. It'd probably be easier.
Okay. Roasted rabbit and lavender tea. Cool.
And raspberries and blackberries.
Sweet.
All right.
Excellent.
So as you guys are enjoying what is probably one of the better feasts you guys have had around a campfire, the sun finally finishes setting and it's darkness and pretty much engulfs the entire camp, and it's getting close
like,
to about
like just regular darkness.
Regular darkness,
like,
not like magical. Okay. Like suddenly everyone.
You said
blind.
Darkness engulfs the entire camp. I was just concerned that darkness.
I was trying
like
to be decorative with my words.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The sun finishes setting and it's now completely dark outside. And it's getting close to about time to figure out what your watches are going to be.
Rolex?
Well, I do best early morning. I tend to wake up early. So then I really am a terrible person for like later watches. So I whenever I sit down long enough, I have a tendency of nodding off.
Are you like
Was that narcolepsy when you?
No, that's oh, okay. That's unexpectedly falling asleep.
Oh, okay.
This
that
is,
would be cool if our hunter was narcoleptic. That'd be awesome.
We're gonna quietly wait for this deer. Also, Francis is very good at keeping watch, so he wakes me up if there's any there issues. Some of his night vision's a little bit better than mine.
I'll take the first watch. I'm enjoying my tea.
I'll take the midnight watch.
Excellent.
Who wants the last watch?
I'll take the last watch if nobody else wants it.
Okay.
I'll take like early morning. I don't know what watch.
There's generally three watches, typically. So.
All right, I'll be with you on the last watch, Aether.
All right. I'll turn in early so that I'm fully rested by the time my watch begins.
So I snuggle up against, leaning back against Francis. He makes an excellent pillow.
Oh. Interesting.
Light purring platypus noise.
I don't think... He makes pleasant rumbly sounds.
Pleasant. There you go.
All right. So, Tegan, you have first watch. Go ahead and give me a perception check.
I would love to give a perception check.
I would absolutely love for you to give me a perception check, too.
Perception check.
17.
All right. Your watch goes by more or less uneventfully.
Okay.
There are some strange sounds in the woods that you hear, but other than that, so you go to wake up Tormir to take second watch.
Dude, your tea's awesome, but you got to get up. Sorry, man.
All right. Let me get ready.
Right, what do you mean ready? I'm going to bed, dude. You gotta get up.
Hold your horses, you know.
I'm a little cranky at midnight, apparently. Right. So I'm gonna wait for Tormir while he gets ready for watch.
All right, 30 seconds later, I've thrown my robe on, and I'm now ready.
Oh, okay, all right. What was he sleeping
like
before
smoking,
he got the robe?
Like a regular like bathrobe, like terry cloth robe. And I was just like, what are you doing? There's little ducks on it.
I mean, yeah, you were asking that question, Tegan. It's probably he was just honoring Hup. Yeah.
No,
don't wear panty pants.
So, don't ask what's under the robe.
Ah.
Oh, man. He's a real Scotsman.
I've got two beards.
Wow.
All right. So go ahead and give me a perception check, Tormir. All right. What'd you roll?
I rolled a 27.
All right. So with a 27, you are pretty vigilant on your watch. Tegan had mentioned that he had heard some strange noises on his watch, but hadn't seen anything.
He got a 37.
Oh, yeah, because you get a plus 10 on that.
Why did you get a plus 10?
Because you rolled a natural 20.
Ah, oh, very nice. Very nice.
But you get, with that, you pretty much just pick up everything. Even probably at some point, you know, closing your eyes, you can kind of sort of extend your senses out further past. And you hear squirrels and stuff like that in the trees, but they're not normal squirrels. There's something wrong. There's something off. Yeah, you can't quite put your finger on it, but there's wildlife around. There's birds, there's squirrels, there's, you know, under the ground you can even sense moles. You know, your perception is kind of perfectly in tune right now. And they're all around. They're all, you know, animals that would normally be found around here, but something is off. Something is wrong. And nothing appears to be an immediate threat. Other than that, your watch goes by more or less uneventfully, except for you're more concerned now than you were at the beginning of your watch. And then you go to wake up Tabitha and Aether for the last watch.
Francis, go wake up Tabitha.
He walks over to me and like...
Oh, jeez.
I wake up and stretch and start. I would probably build up the fire a little bit since it's probably dwindled down.
And I grab my walking stick and go over there and poke Aether just to get him awake as well.
Wakey, wakey, sunshine.
Wakey, wakey.
Sunshine.
Hello?
Aether appears not to have arisen. He's really tired.
Start throwing things at him. Best option.
I forget. What game was it that we were in where we were kicking somebody to get him awake? Oh, it was that Pathfinder 1 game, and Mark went wake up. That was fun.
Oh, that was pretty funny. All right. So, So the two of you guys are awake, and Tormir, what do you tell them about your watch?
So, just so you guys were aware, I noticed something strange with the wildlife. It's not normal. I can't really put my finger on it, but I just be aware of that, you know. Maybe like one of those other creatures is potentially close by.
How was it? How were they acting different? Like, were they up at a strange time? Well, I guess it is strange that.
It's just more of a gut feeling, you know.
Do I see any animals moving around the campsite?
Give me a perception check.
Bah! Who needs perception checks?
You do.
I got a 25.
All right. You happen to see a few. I don't believe halflings have pretty much the same vision as humans. So, yeah, you see just like a quick glimpse of a squirrel on a tree, but it's awake and moving, and it's a little bit too early for it to be moving. The other thing is squirrels. I mean, they have decent vision, but not great vision at night. So
yeah,
that's generally
a little bit early.
It seems odd that it would be moving around this when it's this dark outside. So things are definitely odd with the squirrels that you happen to notice. But that's really about the extent you know without investigating further.
I look down at Francis to see if he is acting strange or if he's noticing anything.
He seems to be in kind of a defensive posture. He seems to sense something is wrong, but he's not pursuing anything. He's just ready to attack if need be.
Okay. Aether, you should probably be on the lookout as well. I think that Francis is noticing something that we're not. And also, it's really early for the squirrels to be awake. So okay. Be on your guard.
I can investigate, see if I can notice anything.
Can you see at night?
I have low light vision.
Yeah, and with low light vision with stars out, it's pretty nice. You can see the same as though it's clear as day.
Okay. Well, I will stay here then and keep an eye out from here. I'm not as great at in the lower light.
Yeah.
All right, I will draw my falchion and start to look around and see if there's anything of danger or anything to our camp.
Give me a perception check.
Me too?
You too.
All right. Well, it's not like you can just rely on mine.
I got a 15. Blacker. So I'm not as perceptive.
No, but you do have better sight. So you walk out probably a good ways out there. You actually get far enough out that Tabitha loses sight of you.
I have my bow ready just in case.
Okay.
And can while I'm investigating, can I try to be quiet about my activities and not make try to draw attention to myself?
That is an excellent idea. Go ahead and give me a stealth check.
Okay. 6. So, yeah. Ba-da, I'm not very stealthy.
Yeah, he actually sings his own theme song.
Yep.
Sneaky, sneaky, sneaky. Sneaky, sneaky, sneaky.
I'm Snow Sneaky.
I'm hunting wabbits.
So,
you're walking out and you're kind of keeping a close eye out, and unfortunately, you know, it's there like cloud. The one thing about low light vision at night is when the stars are out, you can see great. But unfortunately for you, there was enough cloud cover that blocked out some of the starlight, so it still seems somewhat dim out. And you unfortunately step in couple like loose twigs and leaves, and while you're being very stealthy, you suddenly reveal your presence, and you happen to see a squirrel that you didn't quite notice up in the tree before. The moment you make noise, immediately turn to face you, or sort of face you, and the moment you see it, you notice it has some of the similar tentacle-y things on it that cat thing you saw earlier did the previous day, and the squirrel immediately leaps to attack you.
Squirrels attacking me?
Yes.
This is not like a killer rabbit or anything, is it?
I'm sorry. Rabbit. I didn't hear what you said.
Killer rabbit?
No, it was. I don't know.
It's got pointy teeth.
It's not. It's the size of a squirrel. It's not like a giant squirrel or anything. But it's only a single one. But it's leaping down from the tree, and it kind of just lands it's about to land near you. You have the opportunity if you are fast enough to draw your weapon and try to bat it out of the air if you want to try to make an attack.
He already had his weapon drawn.
Oh, okay, then it's even easier. So if you already have your weapon drawn.
So I can make an attack with my weapon here, sure.
The mighty fighter and it's going to attack the squirrel. This is Gelson.
this is a killer squirrel here at defense. There it is. We got I'm not that stealthy, but man, I can hit a squirrel. I got a 26.
All right. That definitely hits the squirrel. So the squirrel kind of comes down and your falchion, it's a pretty sharp falchion too. And it just kind of like bisects it right along its waistline. It kind of very cleanly falls in two pieces on the ground, at which point you get a better look at it, and like the tentacles are still moving around for like a couple seconds, and then they all just stop.
All right, attack of the tentacle. All right.
I can guarantee that squirrels don't usually have tentacles.
They don't? I thought they were natural in this region.
Nope.
Tentasquirrels.
Tentasquirrel.
Tentasquirrels.
Is that when a squirrel gets in your tent?
Something like that.
I had that out in the Rocky Mountain National Park. A squirrel burrowed through my tent in the middle of the night.
Sweet.
He was coming for your nuts. You shouldn't have food in your tent. It's a terrible idea.
That's true.
I was a teenager. I had food everywhere I went. Anyway. So the single squirrel, and after that, you really don't see much of anything. There's no other motion right where you're at. So you can either go back to where Tabitha was, or you can keep exploring to see if there's anything further out there.
I think I'll go back to Tabitha, let her know what I found before going out and, exposing myself to more stuff and they don't know what's going on.
How do you explain this to Tabitha?
Killer squirrel, killer squirrel.
Do you bring the body back with you so I may investigate it?
No.
Okay.
I merely explain, because who knows? I might grab this thing and the tentacles burrow into my hand or something
that
like that.
That is a good point.
Yeah.
You never know. Safety first.
Yep. So I just explained to her that that is a squirrel that seemed to be corrupted somehow. Wonder if do I sense that there was the source of the problem, or do I feel like we're still in danger? Can I perceive anything else out there?
You didn't happen to see anything else out there. Based upon what you heard from Tormir as well as Tabitha, you feel like there's probably more out there, but you didn't see any. So either they moved on or you just didn't see them the first time out.
How is Francis, his body reacting? Like, is he on guard still?
Francis seems to have calmed down somewhat, but he's like he's not like at ready to attack or pounce state, but he is not closing his eyes yet. He just kind of sit like laying down with his eyes still open. Just looking out.
I think we should stay around the fire just to make sure that to defend our sleeping friends, but keep a weather eye out. I don't really want to go investigate right now I would be at a disadvantage.
All right, that sounds fair. I'll take a position opposite of hers, and I'll keep my weapon drawn, as this doesn't seem to be safe right now.
All right, and the rest of your watch goes by relatively uneventful for the most part, and everyone else wakes up. And you guys all pack up your camp. And
I would have Aether take me to the squirrel so that I may see what it looked like, just to make sure that there wasn't anything else.
At this point, it's been probably an hour or two since Aether had slain it, and so you find the squirrel pretty easily. It's still right where Aether left it. The tentacles look like they withered very quickly, though. After its death, they kind of gone in their whatever direction they were facing, but they're sort of like withered and almost crispy looking or crunchy looking type. Completely desiccated to the point where you're pretty sure if you touched it, not saying you are touching it, but if you touched it, you would imagine you'd probably be able to snap the tentacles right off the body.
Would I be able to, since we've already done, I'm assuming that we've finished cooking breakfast and everything, that I would bring it back to the camp and like cremate it just so that it wouldn't infect the rest of the forest. If anything should happen to eat it.
But
I want to do that while we're cooking food.
Yeah. Tormir's sitting there like frying something on the fire. You throw like a dead tentacle squirrel on the fire.
Yummy.
Delicious.
So I would definitely make sure that it cremated and then make sure that the fire's out and everything. Safety first.
So,
only you can prevent forest fires.
All right. Sounds good. And then do you guys all pack up the camp?
Yep.
Yep. I'm ready to go.
Any other preparations you guys make before you head out for the day?
No, not really. As we're walking, though, I would keep an eye out for any random movements. And also, I would keep an eye out for any nuts that would be ripe.
Or randomly moving berries.
Or randomly moving berries, really. I mean, you can't never be too safe.
Absolutely.
Those berries will get you.
Tormir, are you healed up?
Yep.
Okay.
Alright, so, you guys take off again for the next day, and what you guys find, we will find out next time on Paper Pencil Dice. Thanks again,
everyone. Attack of the killer squirrel!
Oh, no! Alright. Spoilers. But no, we'll catch you guys next time. Thanks again for tuning in. Check us out on Facebook. We're on Discord. Reach out to us. Send us an email. We can be reached at paperpencildicepodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to talk to you. If we don't see you before next time, we'll see you next week on Paper Pencil Dice.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Paper Pencil Dice. Reach out to us at paperpencildicepodcast@gmail.com. Join us next time to find out what our heroes get into next on Paper Pencil Dice.